Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Inside SailTrek SOC. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest, Joseph Dowey. He is from the Caribbean, and he is with Caribbean Farmers Without Borders. Welcome.
Thank you.
So,
it's a pleasure.
Yeah, well, the pleasure's all mine. I was doing some research, and I wanted to find somebody who was Caribbean to the root, and there's nothing more real about anywhere on the face of the planet than those that work with the soil and those that grow food. And I came across you and I thought, yeah, you know, it's something that I'm interested in. What is the traditional crops in the Caribbean? How did they survive before we had all these great shipping companies and we had all this ability to have food shipped from every corner of the earth? What were the crops in the Caribbean that people survived on, and what types of seasons, et cetera, did they existed?
Well, I mean, I know from growing up, we had the bananas, which we call the green fig. We also had the root crops like the dashis, the yams, the potatoes, the tanias. That's what I grew up on. We would cook those in various ways. Sundays, for example, you would have a combination of root crop, the root, which is actually what comes directly from the soil, and the bananas, the green bananas, and, you know, some of the red beans that we grow, and maybe rice. But that was basically our staple for the Sundays. But that's what we basically grew up on, the green bananas. It was our number one crop.
And what were the other crops that were garried? I mean, of course, you have the bananas. You mm-hmm. also have the root crops. There was sugarcane as well at some point.
Yes, there was sugarcane, but sugarcane was mostly for export. I think in St. Kitts and Barbados, they had sugarcane factory. They had factories for making sugar, but most of it was being exported to the UK. Likewise, the banana. Banana was our major export.
And what happened? Because that was the way that it was a staple of life, really. I mean, you know, everybody has to have food in order to eat and to, in order to survive. Nowadays, that's not a big thing. Nobody really knows the Caribbean for its farming, for its agriculture. What happened to that? What happened to the farmers?
Tourism stepped in.
Yeah.
On a larger scale. So everybody wanted to, and you know, the farmers can testify to that. Most of them decided it's better to be a taxi driver or a tour operator than to be a farmer, because a farmer is too much work. So basically everybody turned into tourism, because for the government, it was a quicker way of raising foreign exchange. And for the farmer and whoever was in agriculture, it was an easier job. It's easier for me to go to a hotel and work as a bartender or waitress or a chambermaid as opposed to being out there in that hot sun. So we automatically went from doing that to importing.
So what percentage now do you think of your food is imported?
At this point, I think the last research I did, if you take the combination of the Caribbean islands, which is basically CARICOM, we're importing about, I would say, 88% of our food. Yeah.
Does that have an effect, I wonder? I would imagine it does. It would have an effect on the traditions and the culture, in the simple fact that, you know, when you have to cook with certain things, because that's all you have, that's what becomes, as you said, this was your Sunday staple, this was your regular staple. Has the food and the culture of food there changed as a result of the importing?
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. A lot of us have gone into the consumption of fast foods. Mm-hmm. So that is one. Even in our restaurants, at most of the hotels, everything that is served, or the majority of what is served, is imported food. Because, of course, most of our chefs are imported. So unless you have somebody who's got a local restaurant who's serving that local dashin or yam or sweet potato, then what you get is basically the canned food that comes in.
So the kind of food you can get anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not only are the chefs imported, but the food is imported.
Right. But mind you, though, if that's one of the things I've been trying to get the governments to understand. If we focus on what we grow. And yes, we may, you may say to us, okay, we may not be growing enough, or we not, it may not be consistent enough. But if we focus more on agriculture and planting more, then we can become more self-sustained in terms of food.
Well, I mean, of course, when COVID hit, you know, we saw everything shut right down. The shipping, became more and more difficult. And, you know, we had the Suez Canal that shut down. And now we have another shipping issue that is happening right now, you know, straight across the face of the planet. We are seeing that store shelves are becoming empty. How does that play into the Caribbean? Is it something that the Caribbeans themselves are saying, you know what, we need to get back to basics and we need to start growing our own food again, making sure that we don't rely upon the outside world and upon the need to have this stuff shipped in?
That is the focus right now. That is one of the things that the governments are looking at, the farmers are looking at. As the theme goes, what we want to do now is to eat what we grow and grow what we eat. And that is the only way we can sustain, because food security, and as we rightly mentioned, with all the issues of shipping, food security has become an issue. You've got a population, but you've got to feed them. You've got a tourist coming, you've got to feed them. So the focus now is on growing what we eat.
And do you notice that the tourism now is a little bit different? I mean, years ago, they were happy to go to any place as long as they could eat exactly what they used to eat at home. When you look into food around the world, you're seeing more of a farm-to-table approach. Is that the type of tourism that you're seeing in the Caribbean now? People that really want to sort of discover the true Caribbean, what the Caribbean is all about, the flavors of the Caribbean, you know, from the farms in the Caribbean onto their plate?
I think everybody who comes to the Caribbean wants to experience the Caribbean, its culture, its cuisine. But again, I don't think the tourism officials have actually seen it as that. They've seen it as, when you come into the Caribbean, we want to give you that exotic meal that comes from, that's been prepared by a chef that's coming from somewhere else. Instead of focusing on, you know, let's get our chefs to use what we have and create a dish that is going to be appreciated and it's going to create some sort of memory to that guest. And I went to Dominique and I had frog legs. No, that's a delicacy in an island. You know, no, you go to Dominique and you may go to one hotel and it might be seasonal, but it's something that is an experience. And what persons want to do when they come to a country is to experience the local cuisine.
Isn't frog legs French?
It could be. But I know that Dominica is one of Dominica's delicacies.
Wow.
Oh, because we actually call it, we actually call it the mountain chicken. It has that taste. The legs have that taste and look of chicken. Of the chicken, you know, the parts of the chicken.
Well, I have to be honest with you. I've never tried frog's legs, and I'm not sure, unless somebody passed it off as chicken, I'm not sure that I would be one to try and eat it. But look, you know what? You never know until you try. I don't know. It's just the idea. I used to play with frogs as a child, so.
I think because the frogs we have in Dominica, they're very unique.
Yeah.
And when that is placed on the table before, you can't tell the difference.
Is there any animals that are raised, you know, herds of, because I mean, in Canada, for example, where I'm from, you know, we have cattle farms and we have buffalo and different types of animals that we hunt or slaughter for food. Is there any such thing in the Caribbean?
Yeah, we have the livestock, we have the cows, we have the goats. Persons mostly go for goat meat because you can use that. We've got the specialties that you make, which is called goat water, which you can find in Montserrat and I think Antigua. You've got your regular cows and what else do you have? I mean, yes, we do have livestock that is used for consumption. It does not come to mind right now, but we do.
As far as protein goes, what is the most popular protein? I can imagine, though. I mean, it's something that we talk about often here, is that the Caribbean is many different flavors. You've got the Dutch, you have like the US, the British. There's so many different sort of flavors there. So I can imagine that when it comes to, you know, the protein as well, there's many different likes and many different sort of takes on it.
I think chicken is the number one poultry. Yeah, that's the number one. I mean, everybody goes into having chicken at some point or the other.
Well, you are speaking with the government, you are looking towards encouraging people to get back into farming in the Caribbean. Tell us a little bit about what it is that your goal is and your aim is right now.
Well, as I said before, the fact is trying to get us back into a situation where we can be self-sufficient when it comes to food. Not only to cut our import costs, but also to allow us to export what we grow. Mangoes is a big thing in the Caribbean. Now, what I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to encourage the USDA to look at importing mangoes from certain Caribbean islands for use in the US. Now, I know in Canada, there are restaurants that are specializing in mangoes, in their desserts, in their drinks, and I'm looking at also that possibility. So mangoes is one. The governments are now looking back also into exporting bananas, so that is another. But the important thing is for us to look back and go back into farming, get our men and especially our women and our youngsters into farming, because farming in the Caribbean, when you ask about a farm, everybody tells you most farmers are over 60. So what we're trying to do now is we're trying to encourage the younger ones to get into farming. And you do have persons, you have young ladies who have their normal jobs, but they go into farming on the weekend. They do their farming on the weekends. They supply the restaurants, they supply the supermarkets, whatever they grow, which is basically your vegetables. So that is where we're going to start first and then continue moving along that line.
And is the government looking like they want to be helpful in this matter? Because I know, you know, at the end of the day, the governments can provide roadblocks or they can provide incentives. And a lot of the times it will either fail or it will succeed based on what the governments say. How is that going, that side of things?
Well, I say to most of our farming members is, listen, don't depend on government to do anything for you when it comes to agriculture. Do it yourself. If you need duty-free concession, yeah, go to the government. So if you want seedlings, you can go to the government, but do what you want to do. Do it on your own. Don't depend on government, because government is focused on tourism.
Yeah.
That quick turnover. And in terms of importation of goods, they make money because then they charge you tax when you import.
Yeah.
So what we need to focus on is growing our own and trying to export as much as we can so we can gain from that foreign exchange. Yeah, basically that's it.
So if people are interested and they're interested in finding out more about, what you are looking to encourage others to do, they want to know more about farming, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, they can either contact me by WhatsApp, or they can send me an email at caribbeanfarmerswithoutborders@gmail.com. And what we do is we have a group which is through the Caribbean. So we share information on a daily basis. So if a farmer is looking for a particular product and I know that Antigua has it, then I will put them in contact with Antigua. If somebody wants something that's in Trinidad, I can put them in contact with Trinidad. So that's the network that I've created and continue to expand on. We have some very, very good products being made in the Caribbean. We have some of the great hot sauces. We have some of the best jellies and jams, but the marketing side of it is not that great. And that is what Caribbean Farmers is trying to do, to get those products out there so that persons like yourself can know what we do, what we grow in the Caribbean, what we produce in the Caribbean, and how organic our products are. Yeah,
that's a key right now, I think. You know, I think what you're doing is not that it matters, but I think what you're doing is a great thing. And you're seeing more and more of the younger generations coming up, more interested in that. You know, one of the greatest trends right now is from farm to table. A lot of the greatest chefs in the world, that's exactly what they're doing. They're setting up tables out on the farm, and they're bringing you, they're preparing the meal from everything that is right there, and placing it on the table in front of you and creating the most amazing meals. And, you know, it would be nice to see more and more of that happening, because not only is it a way to make a living, it's sustainable, and it helps not only financially, you know, those that are in the local area to make a living, but it also brings you back to roots as well. You know, it brings you back to where you used to be, to the culture, to the families, to the people. And I think it's an art that's been lost for a long time, with commercial farms having taken over. And I think maybe it's time that we take it back.
I think, but mind you, though, we do have challenges also. I mean, in the Caribbean, we have challenges in terms of even regional shipping, where we don't have enough companies that operate small boats to move farm goods or produce from one island to another in a very quick time. So that is something that we're also looking at, is to get some sort of conveyance between the islands. So that's one issue. And then the other issue, or the biggest issue, is finding funding.
Yeah.
For the small farmers, and even the medium-sized farms, that is one of the biggest issues we have. And I'm trying to see if I can get the banks now to look at, letting us know exactly what the requirements are for persons who want to get financing to develop their farming, the agriculture sector.
Yeah, because I can imagine, I mean, when you're talking about most islands, it's a bit sort of the same as in Spain, in the Balearic Islands. You know, years and years ago, they used to have figs and you know, their main exports, olives, etc. But what happened was that tourism came in. And so the vineyards sort of started taking over, and the hotels started taking over. And there wasn't a lot of land left in order to do the traditional stuff that the land was used for. And when you have limited space, as an island does have, it makes it difficult to reclaim that farmland.
But yeah, you know, you asked a question early on, and I think what government needs to understand is that, yes, you do have tourism, but when COVID came about, most of the hotels and resorts were affected, because tourism had, you know, there was no tourists coming in and out, there was no travel. So you had to go back to some other way of trying to raise, you know, to not only raise your economy, but also to be able to go, well, where am I going to get that next dollar? And then that is when they sort of, well, let's look back at agriculture. But if we had stayed and had a balance between agriculture and tourism, and not use all the arable lands to build hotels or resorts, but keep some of that for farming, then, you know, today we would have been in a better state. Because when you import $10 billion worth of food, that is $10 billion that's going out of the country.
And then we're
not exporting half of that.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense. Well,
nope.
Do you know what, Joseph? I would like to be able to call you back again at some stage and have you chat with us again, perhaps in 6 months, and you can give us an update on how things are going. And who knows? We're supposed to be there in December, so maybe we'll pop in and say hello.
Sure, yeah. And we can, you know, we can maybe take a talk to the island and look at what has been grown and sample some of that local food.
That'd be amazing. Absolutely amazing. I love sampling anything. Sample. As long as it's edible, I'll sample.
Right.
I'm going to make sure to provide all of the links if you're interested in contacting Joseph in regards to the Caribbean Farmers Without Borders. If you want to help the cause, or if you have any ideas, you're a farmer, you want to move to the Caribbean, or you're in the Caribbean itself and you want to become a farmer, well, you know what? I definitely encourage you to give him a call or a contact him in some way. Thank you, Joseph, so much for your time.
You're very welcome.
Once again, thank you. Once again, you've been watching another edition of Inside Sail Trek SOC. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next week.